The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And we are back at 8 a.m. Central Time here on this Monday at the Power Hour. Thanks so much for joining us. Trying to reach out to William Schnobelin and unable to make contact at the moment, so we're going to take phone calls and do more news and all sorts of good stuff. 844-769-2944 is our phone number to call if you have something to chime in on what we're talking about. Geoengineering Watch has a new global alert news out, number 428 by Dane Wigington, controlling the weather, control the world. Gee, this is something that Lyndon Johnson even brought up. Remember that? Project Popeye in the Vietnam War is but one example. Yet the mere mention of climate engineering triggers a program knee-jerk reactions of denial. A bunch of conspiracy theorists. Yeah, just look overhead. Up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a chemtrail. All right. Question is, how long do we have until the breaking point of total climate collapse? No, good luck with that. They're literally trying to kill the world. I'm talking about the powers that be. And of course, if you want a definite impact, negative impact on the environment, just look at what happened with Biden's catch and release network. In the last 9 months, over a 500,000 illegal aliens have been freed in and released into the interior of the United States in the last 9 months alone, according to new data. 518,000 plus border crossers and illegal aliens have been flushed into American communities through the agency's migrant mobile app known as CBP-1, as well as a parole pipeline. Now, I wonder how many people are going to throw away their mobile phones that they were given at the border and just not show up. In the gardening, farming, and homesteading category, the family of 18. We have a story about a family of 18 spanning three generations living on 15 acres of land, sharing how they save money. This is something you definitely need to read. It's going to be posted on the email blast. And, of course, we also have a webinar teaching you how to make homemade soap. Believe it or not. Yeah, it's free, and we're going to provide you with a link to register. It's tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time for those of you who want to jump on and register. Sounds like worthwhile fun. And, of course, now we've got American Jews signing up in droves for gun training classes. They don't feel they're safe anywhere now, given the climate in America. Amazing how that works. It looks like we have reached out to William Schnobelin here on our contact. Good morning, sir.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you?
Great. Great. Doing great. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. Now, you know, we pray in the name of Yeshua all the time here on this show and say prayers for healing for America and for people that are afflicted. In this particular instance, you know, I find it funny. The state of California is waited 4 years to ban. They want to ban all this Halloween candy out there with all that garbage in it. Yeah, I'm amazed. You know, we're talking about Twilight movies, vampire movies, and, you know, people are just like gravitating toward this stuff. I mean, I think it's cute. I've read all the books. I just look at Harry Potter, you know, all of this stuff out there. I look at it and I go, okay, fine, whatever. And I dismiss it because I know where the greater power is. I don't have to go Aloha Mora and open a door. I just reach down and turn the doorknob. So I just, you know, I believe in the Almighty and the fact that, you know, I literally will like lay hands on things and speak in tongues. So, you know, I mean, this is the gifts of the Holy Spirit out there that are working. And you have quite the history.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
So tell me about it.
Well, I'll tell you. After being raised a nice little Catholic boy in the Midwest here in Iowa, I wanted to be a priest, and I ended up, you know, going to a minor seminary, and there one of the theology professors, I mean, the guy had a PhD from the Vatican, the Vatican licentiate, he basically told me that if I wanted to be a priest, I needed to study the occult, because that's what Jesus was. Now, mind you, this would have been in 1968. That was the Catholic Church, and I'm not saying every priest would say this, but this guy sure did, and he was a very brilliant, charismatic, younger fellow, and I was like 19, so what did I know? I knew nothing of the Bible, because, of course, back in those days, especially most Catholics, we were not even allowed to read the Bible. And so I just figured, well, this guy's a priest. He's a theologian. He must know what he's – so I started studying the occult. And before you know it – and back then, of course, there was no internet. There was no – I mean, I had to search around and find occult books, but I found them. And I ended up writing the King of the Witches in England and asking him if he could figure out a way to make me a witch over here in the Midwest. And there was a coven in Rockford, Illinois, which is, you know, about 90 minutes from here. And so that was my start. And from there, you know, to make it fairly brief, I became a high priest a couple years later and got deeper into the occult, of course, because that's how this stuff works. I like to tell people that the occult, magic, whatever, is like drugs. The more you get of it, the more you want of it, and the more it takes over your life, but not in a good way. So I got involved. Okay, one other important point. I went down to Arkansas to study under the Grand Master Druid of North America a year after my initiation, and he told us that, you know, first of all, he said, you've got to become a Freemason. Because there's a lot of occult power in Freemasonry. It's a good way to worship Lucifer. And I know if you're hearing – Masons are hearing this, their heads are going to probably blow up. But that was what this fellow said. And then he also said, and if you really ever get in deep trouble, you need to join the Mormon Church. Because the Mormon Church was founded by witches for witches. It's a place that, you know, people like me at that time could hang out and believe all the stuff that witches believe, but have this cover, if you will, of being this nice white bread, white picket fence, all-American church that's supposedly Christian. So I went on from there. I got into Freemasonry. I became a lodge officer, went to Scottish Rite, York Rite, and if you want to elaborate on that, fine, but I'm just giving the brief version, and became a Shriner, I'm ashamed to say. Imagine me wearing a fez. I have a picture, by the way, if you don't believe me. And anyhow, excuse me, in the middle of all this, I also got involved in Satanism. Even though, you know, originally I didn't believe in the devil because I was a white witch, you know what the term means. And But I had mentors who said, oh, if you really want power, you've got to read the Satanic Bible. You've got to get in it. So I joined the Church of Satan, and I became a hardcore Satanist, and was even drinking human blood at one point to fulfill my destiny, so to speak. And along the way, I had written a check to the Church of Satan every month or every year, you know, for like getting the newsletter and all that. And when the check came back from the bank, as they used to do back in the ancient times, some lady from the bank had written on it, I'll be praying for you in Jesus' name. And, of course, at the time, I just scoffed at it and put it in my file and forgot about it. Well, anyway, within literally 24 hours, my whole life fell apart. I lost all my magical powers. I lost my job. I felt sick as a cat. And I didn't know what was going on. So we had this temple up in our attic that was all painted black with magic circles and a statue of Pan and all of this wickedness, you know. And I went up there and I got on my knees and I prayed to Lucifer. And I said, okay, what's the deal here? You know, you promised me all this stuff. And here I am. Give me a sign. And I love to say this because it's so true. You know, even though I was praying to Lucifer, the Almighty came along and goes, excuse me, I'll take this call. And that's what he did, because literally within 24 hours, this is amazing to me looking back on it, but these two teenage girls show up from Chicago. We were in Milwaukee at this time. And they said, oh, we have a gift for you. And I said, okay, whatever, because I was this high satanic muckety monk, you know, priest of hardcore Satanism. And they gave me two chick comic books, you know, Jack Chick. And one was Spellbound and one was Angel of Light. And they said, you got to read these things. They're so, they said they were Neanderthal. They were so stupid. Well, I glanced at them, whatever, threw them in the thing and forgot about them. The next day, see, I spurned. The Almighty worked a great miracle to have two Satanist teenage girls bring me the gospel. But I couldn't, I was too proud, even in the midst of being flattened like someone ran over me with a spiritual truck. And so the next day, Mormon missionaries show up at our door. And of course, I thought, this is a sign, because of what that guy had told me back in Arkansas. So joining the Mormon church, you know, went full bore into it. I gave up all of my, you know, because Mormons don't believe in drugs or alcohol. So I gave up all of my drugs. You know, I thought the Mormon church leadership were all white witches. So I still was practicing witchcraft, but otherwise I was a totally devout Mormon. And as I was doing this, the one thing the Mormons get right, they use the King James Bible. And I was, for the first time, even though I had a master's degree from a Catholic seminary, I never read the Bible all the way through. I had hardly ever read the Bible, period, except maybe the Gospels. And I read the Bible, and I started realizing that whatever Paul was, he couldn't have been a Mormon, because there's just too many scriptures in the New Testament that just go against Mormonism. And so anyway, the last part of this is that I ended up, you know, going to a prophecy seminar locally there in town that some unknown entity had put together. They had an ad in the, you know, the penny newspaper that comes out every week. And I thought I could get some people to join the Mormon church, you know, because I was in a church that was founded by a living prophet. So I went there, and for the first time, it turned out it was a Seventh-day Adventist seminar, of all things, but this guy preached the gospel, and I had no answers for the stuff he was saying. And finally, I said, okay, where do you get the authority to baptize people so they can be saved? Because that's a Mormon talking point. They believe that only either the Catholic Church or the Mormon Church has the authority coming from heaven to do this stuff for reasons that are a little complex. But anyway, and he just said, where do you get that idea? He said, it just says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And that just, you know, that went right through my Mormon underwear. You know, Mormons wear magic underwear. And it was like a bullet in right in the heart of my soul. And I went home and I was just trembling and shaking. And I spent a week in fasting and prayer, because that's what Mormons are taught you're supposed to do if you're facing a spiritual dilemma. And I had good advice. So anyway, I was doing all that. And finally, I remember those comic books, which are in a box in the bottom of my closet. And I went and got them. And I thought, well, I've tried everything else. I might as well try this. So I, and in the back, you know, it has this thing, how to be saved. So I knelt at the foot of my bed. I took off my magic underwear so there'd be no static on the line when I prayed to God. And I prayed and I got born again. Hallelujah. And that was June 22nd, 1984. And then a couple years later, I got called into the ministry, and it's been a wild ride ever since. But here I am.
Wow.
Glory to God.
Here I thought we were going in the direction of, gee, sounds like you need an exorcism. Yeah. And I was going to hear, Father Marin, Marin. Yeah, I thought I was going to hear Linda Blair. Because, I mean, this movie, by the way, which has celebrated its 50th anniversary now, wow. Literally, I mean, you want to talk about when I was in the ministry in the 70s, they were showing this movie in advanced class to teach exactly what Satan is capable of.
Yeah.
And a lot of people freaked out and quit the ministry as a result of it, because they were just led the living bejesus scared out of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, as well as I do, Bill, about this counterfeit situation going on right now. You've written books, which, you know, it's kind of interesting You have a now an article out now, Halloween Tis the Season to Be Evil. But mainstream media and the mainstream merchants of the earth all glamorize this. And it's like, what are you going to be for Halloween? I mean, this is a big thing. And kids, oh, yeah. I mean, this is just a start.
Yeah, well, they've made a decision some years back, and you know that we're going to make Halloween as big as Christmas because it's partly about marketing. I mean, you go to the store and there's just walls and aisles of candy and whatnot, you know, and it's about money. But the powers behind it understand that the more people they can rope into this, because part of my story I left out is that when I was a child, I was going out like every other child in those days, trick-or-treating in a small Iowa town. And I saw, I'd never seen a horror movie, nothing. And I looked up in the sky and I saw this cloud of demons over my head. Just like the sky was this one big vault of demonic, black, leathery, bat-like things. And it freaked me out, obviously, 10 or 12-year-old kid. And I felt this thrill go through me. And I realized, looking back, you know, many years later, that that was when the devil gained a foothold in my nice little Catholic childhood. And from then on, I became interested in the occult. I was reading books like on haunted houses, UFOs, all this stuff. So that was kind of a footnote that kind of illustrates the problem with your parents, Christian or otherwise, letting their kids going out trick-or-treating on Halloween, aside from the candy not being healthy. That's the least of the worries, because it's a night when demons run rampant. It's a night when all manner of wickedness, because there's literally thousands, tens of thousands of witches that are celebrating evil on this night. They're worshiping pagan gods just like I did back in the 70s, and it's terrible. Because all this dark energy is out there. And I'm not just talking about Harry Potter type stuff. This is deep wickedness. And if you have your children out there walking around, you know, and as I would hope you would pray over them before you let them go out. And even if you're driving them around in your car, it doesn't matter. That spiritual evil is all over, especially on that night. So from almost day one, I mean, I wrote the that thing. It was originally a track for Saints Alive and Jesus way back. Probably I wrote that in 1988. And I was trying to wake up the church. And I think that's happened to a degree, that this is not something you should celebrate, that this is not something that, you know, I mean, you've got to be aware of evil and not keep evil things and evil times and seasons. You've got to come against that. And I tell people on Halloween night, fast and pray for your community, for your church, and for your children.
Makes sense. Dave in New York, you're on the phone with William Schnobelin. Go ahead.
Hey, William. You know, when he said somebody was going to be on, I didn't know it was going to be you, because I've for years have been asking people around this time of the year, whatever happened to William Schnobelin? Oh, we never heard of him. And it's like, and then when you describe the leathery bat-like things and all, I mean, you know, I remember you saying this, you know, on some other program a long time ago. Is there any way, do you have any DVDs or CDs or anything available?
Oh, my. Yeah, we have a YouTube channel, which has now like around 250 teaching videos. We have our website, withoneaccord.org. And we also have, I mean, I've got 8 books. I've got, I would think, at least 30 DVD teachings out there on a wide variety of topics. So, yeah, and we have a lot of our, if you know, some of the videos I did for other organizations like the Prophecy Club, you know, and they own the rights to those things. But the ones that we made, I have put them up on Vimeo, where people can download them, you know, for a much less fee than it would take to have a physical, you know, product. So, yeah, we have a lot of presence out there. We're working to get more. But, yeah, get on our website and you'll find all sorts of goodies. Plus, we have a ton of free teachings you can download.
Okay. Now, I'm kind of like, I guess you'd call me a hick or something. I don't have any of those. I don't have a computer. I don't have a fancy telephone and anything like that. So is it possible that there's a phone number?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, we have, I hate to say this, but I don't know our phone number.
I don't call myself too often either.
No, no. I'd have to dig it up, but hold on a minute. Anyway, yeah, and we have a mailing address. And it's 3500 Dodge Street, just like the car. Suite 205, number 411. And that's in Dubuque, Iowa, D-U-B-U-Q-U-E, Iowa, 52003. So that's...
Okay, tell you what. Hey, I never took shorthand, and I've got 3500 Dodge Street.
Suite 205, number 411. And that's in Dubuque. D-U-B-U-Q-U-E.
So hopefully you got that, Dave.
Okay, I have my phone number. Yeah, Dubuque. And it's my phone. The office line is 563-217-5789.
Okay, there you have it. Dave in New York, thanks so much. Jeff in North Carolina, you are on the air with William Schnobelin. Go ahead.
Hey, sir. I had listened to you a while back. You were very, very, very good, and I was curious to see what happened to you. It's good to see you on here. I have a couple questions. First off, a lot of Christians will try to Christianize many things. I mean, they'll try to mix, you know what I'm talking about. They'll try to mix it, saying it's okay to do this and that. You can't really Christianize this or mix this at all, can you? I mean, in reality, am I correct?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I know there are churches that will have like hallelujah parties, they call them, and things like that. And I mean, it's better than nothing, but I don't think you can really, it's like, you know, trying to put lipstick on a pig. You can't do it. And I just advise people to stay as far away from it as you can. You know, if people are coming, you know, kids coming door to door, give them a tract. I mean, the Chick Publications has some great little cartoon tracts, that are like oriented towards young people. You know, they're easy to read and they have the gospel. But no, I don't really advocate that. I mean, I know some places have, they call it harvest festivals at their church. And that's probably, because I mean, obviously Israel had Sukkot, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles, where they celebrated the harvest that the Almighty had given them. So, you know, I guess it depends on how you package it. And the other thing I would say is be sure that you really soak it in prayer. Because,
right.
You know...
Right. I have one more question real quick, and this is you guys were talking about that movie. I just was curious. I had heard that after that movie that Linda Blair was never really the same after that. Is that true?
Well, I mean, she made another Exorcist movie, you know, a few years later. It was called Exorcist to the Heretic, and she went on to be kind of a B-list actress. I have no idea where she ended up, but I'm sure it was very spiritually damaging for her. But let's face it. I mean, if I was a parent, I would never let my child within 100 yards of something like that movie. But beyond that, Hollywood in general is so toxic to kids. I mean, both watching it, but also being in it. I mean, you know, there's now all these things coming out of these former child stars that are now adults that have been horribly messed with by Hollywood directors and executives. I mean, the list is just appalling. So Hollywood is a, you know, a wretched hive of scum and villainy, to quote Star Wars. And I would never let a child near it. But I haven't really heard anything particularly about Linda Blair, if she's where she's at now or how messed up she might be. But I'm sure it did a lot of damage to her.
Well, the thing is that there was, Jeff, on that set, a fire did break out on the set and somebody did die on the set of the filming of The Exorcist. In addition to that, Ellen Burstyn, during one of the scenes where she was thrown against the wall, injured her back in the process. So those are the little things that happened during the movie. So if you want to, I mean, it's pretty creepy what's going on there, which is why when we were watching this stuff in advanced class in the ministry I was in, it's just like, Satan is really capable of these things. Yeah, he is, in a big way. We appreciate your call, Jeff. Thanks so much. The calls are stacking up. Eric, you're on. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
I was wondering if you'd looked into the roots of feminism. Rachel Wilson has a book out tying the occult roots to feminism, and that the suffrage movement was really promoted by wealthy men to get cheap labor in the workforce, and that only like 4% of the women cared about voting back then, and only 4% of the men actually voted in England at the time of the women's right to vote. So I didn't know how that tied into the occult feminism.
I'm familiar with that book. I'm in the middle of reading it. I think it's an awesome work, and I have no doubt that's totally accurate. You know, and mind you, I'm not, you know, anti-women. I have a lovely wife, you know, who's just awesome. But yeah, I think the whole feminist thing has been extremely toxic for women, both spiritually and economically and emotionally, because you're seeing now so many of these women who, oh, I can have a career, I can do it all, and they get up into their 30s and maybe they're really well off financially, but they realize the biological clock is ticking, so to speak, and they're lonely, they're depressed. That's why so many women are on antidepressants, and you know, feminism did not give them the joy they wanted. But having a family and being in a godly marriage, you know, with a godly husband, that is where joy is for both genders.
Well, we appreciate your call, okay. Eric. Thank you much. Brady in Las Vegas, back on the show.
Right on, gentlemen. You know, growing up in a haunted house, I used to hate Halloween. I could feel all the evil spirits in the energy. And even when you go out on Halloween night, even these days, you can feel that energy. It's very dark. But I have to ask you, when you were doing all your Satanism and your black magic and your witchcraft and praying to the Prince of Darkness, did you ever see the devil himself manifest yourself in your realm?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that. I know in my book, I have an autobiography called Lucifer Dethroned. And in that book, I chronicle how at one point I was sort of taken out of my body. And this is when I was deep into Satanism. And I ended up on what appeared to be, and I'm just saying, you know, I don't know, but I wasn't on drugs. Let me just say that. I was in this, like on a moon that was orbiting Saturn. And in this moon, I encountered this cathedral of pain. Are we coming up on a break or something?
We are.
Okay, I'll...
Well, we'll address that when we come back. Yes, we're here with William Schnobel, and I know everybody loves to hear this subject matter and, you know, talk about rebirth and a rude awakening. It happens to a lot of different people. In this case, it happened to William Schnobel, and I'm glad that you all appreciate him being on here. We'll be back after the break. We'll take more of your phone calls and continue this discussion after these important messages. Stay with us.
Eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good. It supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself. Come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
It's Joy Schmiley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi everyone, this is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function, and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and highly bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time here where we are. And of course, we have William Schnubbelin with us on the line. He's a reverend, much the same as I am. Here's the thing. You know, we all went through our rude awakening. We all lived in the world. We all still live in the world. And some of us have become spiritually attuned to the differences between good and evil. And William Schnubbelin, by the way, for those of you who want his address and phone number, we have that. And we're going to be posting it for those of you who want to go to thepowerhour.com and sign up for the newsletter tab through that and get our email blast, which we send out every day. This information will be included in that, just to let you know. The thing is, we're talking about Halloween. 'Tis the season to be evil. There is a DVD out that Reverend Schnubbelin has done, Halloween Unmasking Hell Night. You know, what's really amazing is way back when, I think they still do this, is the night before Halloween in Detroit, we used to call it Cabbage Night, where they literally go out and commit vandalism. And then the next night they turn around and come to your door and say, trick or treat, I just soaped your windows last night. Now reward me. I mean, this makes zero sense in my book. What's your take?
Well, it's like almost everything in this country now makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know. I remember, yeah, that's where I think the word Hell Night originated. And it just like this is a night when evil is unleashed on the world. And that's why I ask Christians to pray more fervently during this season, because in the occult, there's this idea of orbs that I'm not talking about like Harry Potter here, but like they're before a feast, okay, like Halloween, there's a 2 or 3 day window where it kind of amps up. And then there's the feast, and then there's a 2 or 3 day window when it kind of dies down. And so we ask people, like, okay, with Halloween, maybe start, you know, really praying and interceding and doing warfare if you're called to do that kind of stuff, you know, maybe on the, like the 28th. And then don't just slack off on November 1st. Do it a couple more days after that. Because let me tell you, witches are serious. And I know there's been this story floating around for years talking about how, you know, a pre-pastor, somebody was sitting on an airplane and a witch was saying she was fasting for 3 days before Halloween to bring down churches. And how many Christians would be willing to do that? And as my mentor, Dr. Walter Martin, used to say, are you willing to do for the truth what cults are doing for a lie? We need to be more serious as Christians about prayer and fasting and doing deep spiritual warfare, because otherwise the devil just has free rein on that night.
Since you've done a lot of this research back into America's history, way back when this country was founded, the Puritans and those... There were women out there that practiced, and even some men who basically looked at what the power and all of the herbs and things of the earth that were given for the means of healing, which we do today. We take herbs and supplements for the purposes of healing, which is why we have them at the Power Mall, which is now open at 877-817-9829. And for those of you who want to order them, the thing is, we've done so much studies and research into way back when was condemned and people were murdered, stoned, had stones put on top of them. They were hung, they were burned at the stake, and they were called witches. Just for the mere fact that they were trying to cultivate the herbs of the earth and make themselves healthy again. I mean, do you have any reasonable explanation for why this part of our history had to happen?
Well, it's about money, you know. And I think, you know, we did a video for the Prophecy Club over 15 years ago called The Medical Conspiracy. And in that, I kind of delineate how there's been this war between, like you say, herbalists and naturopathic doctors and even homeopathic practitioners and the petrochemical industry, which is behind pharmaceutical drugs. And basically, it's astonishing if you read this stuff that they – and I don't know quite so much about what was happening back in the time of the Puritans. But, I mean, obviously, there some people have said that some of those people, the girls that were accusing everybody of witchcraft – that they'd eaten corn that had ergot in it, which is a hallucinogen, is where we get LSD, and that they were hallucinating. But it started this fervor, fever, whatever, of witch hunting. And I know what you're saying is true, that a lot of the poor women and, like you say, a few men got caught up in this nutty dragnet, and all they were was herbalists and midwives, you know, which is perfectly appropriate scripturally. I tell people, herbs are more biblical than pharmaceutical drugs, because, and I know a lot of your listeners understand this, but the word pharmacy comes from the Greek word pharmakeia, which is called sorcery, and it's part of Babylon the Great's, empire in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. So we need to be careful. People think, oh, well, herbs are creepy, but if my doctor wants to give me, you know, some drug, that's fine. Well, first of all, most of these drugs now come from China, where they have very little quality control. But beyond that, a lot of them have terrible side effects. So a lot of this has, like, for example, I know Rockefeller, who had his oil empire, he decided that he was going to take the waste products from his oil industry and use it to make drugs. And so he funded the AMA, and he used his power, because at that time he was probably the richest guy in the world, to downgrade, especially homeopathy, because at that time homeopathy and herbal practitioners were outperforming physicians, doctors. And he used his power to shut down all the homeopathic colleges in America. Think of that. And the interesting thing is, you know, things like homeopathy and chiropractic, I don't know if you've heard of this, brother, but it's like during the Spanish flu outbreak in 1918, here in America, the hospitals were so overwhelmed, they asked Palmer College, which is right here in Iowa, that's kind of the founding college of chiropractic, to help take in patients because the hospitals were overflowing. And because they used chiropractic and they used homeopathy and herbs at Palmer, they had like a twice the success rate in terms of patients surviving and thriving than did the pharmaceutical hospitals. So, yeah, if you're really interested in a deep dive on this, get our DVD. It's called The Medical Conspiracy. And then we also have a companion one that's called Medical Murder, which talks about the psychiatric industry and how dangerous both are. I mean, you know, I know one of my teachers, Dr. Richard Schultz, because I have a degree in naturopathic medicine. He said, you know, if you want to stay healthy, the best thing to do is to stay away from hospitals and doctors. And that's sad, but it's true.
But Bill, it's one of these things where you have all these people that, for example, they put their faith in the government.
Mm-hmm.
They were all part of the Hegelian dialectic to come up with a virus, create a bioweapon, inject people with it, and now people are dropping dead. And I mean, this is all part of the bigger scheme to depopulate the world. That's evil in itself, because people just, their belief systems are going crazy these days to even still trust modern medicine and whatever the doctor says we're going to do. I get family members that are doing the same stuff, and they put more faith in their doctors. And when you try to reach out and help them, they shun you and tell you, you know what you're talking about. My doctor said, and I'm just like, oh, see, I can't change your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, all you can do is pray for them, right?
That's all you can do. And I mean, that's because they watch the lamestream media and, you know, they're being fed this line of lies, almost all of it's lies. And some people just are too, I hate to say it, but they're too lazy to do their own research, and they're too pigheaded to listen to people like you and me who have done the research, who've done the hard work to cut through the static and find the truth. And it's just too bad. But they're, you know, it's their lives, and all you can do is step back and pray for them.
Yep, for sure. So now with this is a long past. And see, we've been brainwashed by mainstream media and Hollywood, because we talked about it before. I mean, even something as simple as the pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, and you have click your heels three times and say there's no place like home. You've got a good witch and you've got a bad witch. You got to have a protagonist. You got to have an antagonist. Otherwise, we don't have Hollywood. So the bigger thing is, there really is no good witch.
Well, no. I mean, I try and explain it. I try to be nuanced about it. I know there are a lot of so-called Wiccans or white witches that are quote-unquote good, in the sense that they try to live moral lives. Of course, most of them are as lost as a golf ball in a wheat field. But they're not running around killing babies or, you know, whatever. But, you know, they're lost. And no, there's no such thing as white magic. There's no such thing as good magic, in the sense that, I mean, I know when I was a Wiccan, because I was a witch high priest for 16 years or 9 years rather. And it's like, you know, I thought I'd do spells to heal people. I'd do spells to help people, you know, mend a marriage and all of this stuff. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Because what I explain to people is that if the devil causes the damage, like say to a marriage or a disease, the devil can fix it to give glory to his servants. So when you see healings, whether they're, you know, whatever source, don't, it isn't just about this. It's like it says in Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, if you see signs and wonders, but if the person is leading you away to other gods, don't follow that person. And that's what most people don't understand. So yeah, I think it's a big problem, and people are ignorant. And of course, you know, Hosea says, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's what's kind of, the church today is kind of woefully stupid. I mean, I hate to say it, but I bet at least 75% of the Christians don't understand what's going on. They don't get the signs of the times. And I think a lot of it is because their preachers are not doing their jobs. They're giving them happy talk and, you know, all of that instead of giving them solid gospel truths.
Do you think that this is just, you know, because they're afraid of the government and what the government will do to shut them down?
Well, I think some of it is because, of course, the vast majority of churches are 501c3, which means they're basically creatures of the government. They're owned by the government. And we are not. And we have a couple of DVDs, but some YouTube videos about explaining that. And no, I think a lot of these guys that have their 501c3s and are sitting on a big expensive church with a big expensive pulpit, they don't want to have the IRS come and yank their platform out front of them because they said the wrong thing about either, you know, homosexuality or abortion or even like the COVID thing and all of that, you know, because there were preachers and clergy of various kinds that were standing up against that, both here and in Canada, when they had all these lockdowns, and someone got thrown in jail, which is just astonishing when you think that, especially America, we're supposed to be in a free country.
We're supposed to be. Well, see, I mean, the thing is, too, is that they were literally the thing that scares me more. If you actually read the Internal Revenue Code under the regulations of 501c3, they are not allowed. Ministers are not allowed to speak politically from the pulpit, especially when it comes to block voting. This is the scary thing. If the minister was to get up there and say, vote for Trump, they could take the 501c3 away from him.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's the scary thing. Robert in Florida, you're on with William Schnobelin. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to clarify one point you made about pharmaceuticals. The root of the word pharmacopoeia comes from a fallen angel. In Greek, his name is Pharmaros. His Semitic name is Harmony. And he gave us this sorcery, as you call it, with altering natural substances that are obviously altering us. The side effects are worse than actually a lot of times than the diseases that it supposedly cures.
Yes. Is that from the book of Enoch?
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable assumption. And you're right. I mean, the cure is worse than the disease because no drug actually cures anything because only God cures. I mean, pharmaceuticals or doctors or, for that matter, herbalists can do what they can to facilitate healing, but only divine power from heaven can really cure anybody. But yeah, and I think herbalism is the way to go. I would only use a pharmaceutical as a very, very last resort.
Well, it's all, as you said, it's adulterated. They add the petrochemicals and now literally a whole witch's brew of things into these various concoctions, allegedly to make us healthy when it obviously it's harming us. And there's that word again, Harmony. That's the original name of that fallen angel on Mount Hermon was Harmony, later known as Pharmaros in Greek. Now it's called Pharmacopoeia or pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Just wanted to add that, guys. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. Wow, my little party is just beginning. I have fun with a lot of this stuff and I poke fun, but see, the thing is, this is what bothers me the most, Reverend. People's belief systems and where they're at today and why this country is in trouble. Big trouble. Well,
yeah, because they aren't any. Because we've had now several generations that didn't get the Bible in their grade school, and that they're biblically ignorant, and then they're on top of that. You have a lot of preachers, and they're more interested in psychobabble and psychology than they are in the Bible, and so. And again, I don't mean to tar everybody because there's a lot of really great preaching out there. But the problem is people, when they are ignorant, and then from that, from the ignorance of the Bible flows ignorance of political issues and of social issues. Like, you know, so many people, they're talking now like the whole abortion thing is going to cost Republican seats in various, you know, state contests because allegedly more people are for abortion than against it. And that's an appalling indictment of the lack of biblical understanding in, you know, the church and the public citizenry. Because I don't know if you've heard of the Didache. It's a very, very early document right after the time of the apostles. It literally means the teaching of the apostles. And in that document, one of the things it says is that abortion is murder. So even before the end of the first century, you know, that was pretty much solidified as a position of the church and of Christianity. And it's just too bad that today there are a lot of liberal churches that just have thrown the Bible out the window and they've thrown, you know, that out the window. And they're you know, I saw this one video of this woman preacher doing the Sparkle Creed. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's just wokeness gone amok. Like the woman is nuts. But anyway, hallelujah.
Wow. And so the other thing that you became aware of, I guess, I don't know if it's spiritual or otherwise, was this UFO phenomenon and what's happening. And people are reporting seeing signs and wonders, and they see them flying in formation and various other things going on. We've had a lot of people calling us on that and communicating with me directly on it. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I mean, I was studying UFOs back in the 60s, believe it or not. And I've been looking at this stuff like forever, and I think it's a demonic deception. I don't think there are really space aliens. I think they are fallen angels or entities like these gray little aliens you see all over the internet. You know, those are clones created by fallen celestial beings. Now, we have a DVD called Disclosure, which addresses this in great length. And I did it, oddly enough, I did it at Roswell at a UFO conference a few years ago. We also have a book, which I'm trying to get back into print now, called Space Invaders. So it's a demonic thing that people are being led to think, oh, these are going to save the Earth. You know, the space brothers are going to come down and land on the White House lawn, and space Jesus is going to walk out of the UFO and say, peace, you know, and it's going to be a lie. It's, you know, you look at Project Bluebeam, you look at all of the things they're doing, they can create a Jesus in the sky, quote unquote, and people will believe it because they have no discernment. So, yeah, it's dangerous stuff. And if I tell people, if the government is finally, because for years I and others were pushing the government to disclose, quote unquote. And because the reason I think they're doing it is to keep people's minds away from the way that the whole government is just a dumpster fire.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Tim in Michigan, you're on with William Schnobelin. Go ahead.
Yeah, Halloween is the second largest holiday in the United States right now, which I just find crazy. But the other national holidays, Easter, Christmas, are all pagan holidays, and they've been given Christian names just to satisfy people's, I guess, to the occult. I mean, that's all they're doing. When they go watch the sunrise on Sunday, they're actually paying homage to Horus, the sun god, and they don't even know it. They say they're there for Jesus, but they're actually giving homage to the sun god. And that's our whole problem, is this: everything is fake in this country. It's fake.
Tim, I got to tell you, I'm sure that Reverend Bill would agree with this thing, but see, for everything spiritual out there in the universe, in our earth, the way that things are, this world is not ours. We already know that. We already know there's a greater destiny for all of us as long as we believe in the Word of God. But the thing is that for every single spiritual thing that is going on in America, there is a satanic counterfeit to it that's lurking about, that's out there tempting people. And this is the thing that people need to understand when we talk about discernment. And again, I bring up 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. If you would just read those three scriptures together, and I know you have a King James version of it because it talks clearly about word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits when it comes to being able to understand there is something present here. You are either to deal with it, and I'm giving you the power through discernment to deal with it directly, or you get the hell away from it because this is not your cup of tea. You are not schooled enough in the Word of God to be able to take this on head on. You are to turn around and walk away from that scenario. This is clearly, if you didn't like walk into a biker bar and all of a sudden realize that everybody's drunk and looking to start a fight and you're in the middle of it and you think you're going to witness the power of God in a bar like that, you're going to get yourself beat up. Word of knowledge would have told you this is not a good place for you to be. Turn around and walk out. That's just a small classic example of it, but spiritual discernment, people got to have more of that these days. Don't you agree?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I would just add, you know, I have guys come to me and say, well, I'm going to, for example, the Masonic Lodge is the most egregious example. I am going to stay in the lodge and witness to people and, you know, try to transform the lodge from within because it has good points. Well, I tell them, look, you know, Abraham stayed away from Sodom. Lot went to Sodom. And what happened? I mean, his whole family got corrupted. And he, you know, if you understand the text, it says he was sitting in the gate of the city when those two angels came. He was a leader in Sodom. That's what that meant back in the culture of those days. And they couldn't even find 10 people in that city after him being there forever, trying to supposedly witness the truth of the Torah or whatever.
Yeah, find me 10 righteous people. Didn't happen. So, no. I mean, this is what happened. You know what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. So, yeah. William Stoble, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Yes. It's been enlightening. We thank all you callers for your phone calls today. God bless you and God bless the United States of America, what's left of it. God bless all the Christians here and especially with your ministry, Reverend Bill Stoble. And thank you so much. We just pray for your peace, safety, and hedge of protection here in the name of your son, Yeshua. Amen. Can I get an amen out of the listeners out there? It's been wonderful today, folks. I hope that we got to some of you and that you understand and get a big, clear knowledge of the Word of God out there. In the meantime, we will see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarest and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.